As we turn now to our gospel lesson from Matthew's gospel that Bob Redvanley is going to read for us this morning, let's invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into our reading and our hearing through our prayer for illumination. Praying together, God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge Him as Lord. We ask that you will send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter Gospel. Amen.
The scripture lesson today is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
So kids, I know there are kids watching. I have seen Facebook posts from families in our church of the kids sitting on the couch and watching the service. And I think my kids are watching too. They had better be, at least. So a couple weeks ago, my kids were bugging me and saying, "Why don't you do a children's sermon?" So folks, you're going to get a children's sermon today. Can any of you kids tell me what this is? You might have seen one of these recently. That's right, it is an Easter egg. Now, isn't it funny, strange, that on Easter we talk about eggs? Why do we do that? What are eggs? Well, eggs are delicious. Yeah, that's right, they are. They are. What do we normally think of when we see eggs, though? Rebirth, good. Oftentimes, there are chickens inside of eggs. That's where chickens come from. Whether you want to argue about what came first, the chicken or the egg, is probably a different sermon than today's. So when we see this, we think of chicks, new life, right? New life comes pouring out of eggs. Whether it is chicken eggs or alligator eggs, or human eggs, children, young, newness come out of eggs. And so, when we see eggs on Easter, it causes us to think about new life. So why in the world would Pastor Chris have an Easter egg during a children's sermon? The Easter Bunny didn't bring this for me. I actually got it out of a bin that holds about 500 of these that we were going to set out if we had had an Easter egg hunt this year. Makes me think of the Easter story. When the women, in our story, when they went to the tomb, they expected to find something inside of the tomb. They expected the tomb to be closed, and they expected that Jesus was dead inside of there, and they were very sad. But when they went to the tomb, they found something interesting. The stone had been rolled away, and what was inside? Nothing. Nothing was inside because the tomb was empty. So today, my little friends, as you are hunting for your Easter eggs and as you're pulling out coins and Hershey Kisses and Bible verses, if some of your parents are devious enough to put Bible verses inside of Easter eggs, remember, after you've eaten or gotten what's inside, to look inside and remember that on Easter, the tomb was empty. And so we celebrate that Jesus Christ is risen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the Easter gospel. We thank you for the empty tomb and for these reminders that we have around us of new life and also the promise of resurrection. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for loving us. And now, Lord, as we transition into another sermon, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you just wish the conversation would end? I'm not seeing that over here. Sometimes when your kids are talking to you, or sometimes if you're telling your kids something, like when I tell my kids, you know, go clean up your toys, they might say something back to me. They might say, why? Or they might ask a question, or they might talk back. Now, I know your kids would never do that. Mine really don't that often either. They're probably sitting at home right now yelling back at the TV, you owe me $50, Dad. One of my favorite new TV shows is The Mandalorian. It's on Disney Plus. It's a Star Wars show. And in this show, one of the characters, a small, petite, little man on a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, no doubt, he ends his sentences with these words, I have spoken. And it's my theory that if you ever want to end a conversation, you should end it with the words, there, I have spoken. Like, kids, go clean your room, but I have spoken. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, because the angel that sits on top of the stone that has been rolled away, he says that to the women. He's telling them all about what has happened. The stone is rolled away. The women, they come expecting to find a grave. They're in mourning. They go to a cemetery. This is going to be a scene that is going to play out a lot in these days. Just this morning, I got word of another colleague who has passed away from COVID-19 after her mother and her sister had also died of it just days before. And in each one of these, this colleague of mine from pastoring a church in Patterson, a professor of mine who had retired up to the Albany area, others that I know who are hospitalized, each one of these is a reminder of our mortality, a reminder of the number of funerals that we would be attending if we had the option to attend funerals. Earlier in the week, this week, I officiated a funeral service for a member of Second Reformed Church a long time ago. I had officiated at his wife's funeral about 6 years ago. And gathered there with just his daughter and her son, there at the graveside at Laurel Grove in Totowa was a reminder of just how much we are missing in this time. You're surrounded there by graves. It's one of the places that you can still visit. And so there were flowers all over in the cemetery at each grave. The women on that Easter were going to the grave to mourn, to grieve. That's what we do when we go to cemeteries. We go because it's a place for us to express our grief and our sorrow over the person who has died. The women go in their grief, and they see this miraculous thing. The stone rolls away. The guards who experience this fall down like they are dead at the wonder of this sight. And the angel just sits on top of the stone, just like you would go sit on a retaining wall or something. He just sits, hangs out, and the women walk up and they're astonished at this. And the angel says to them, "He's not here. He's risen. Go to Galilee. Go and tell his disciples that he has gone ahead of them into Galilee. Now I have told you. I have spoken," he says. "Now I have told you." Because if it were me, I would have about 1,000 questions, maybe more. What happened? Being the first one. What happened here? And what does all of this mean? And how does someone who's been dead come back to life? And maybe many, many, many more questions. But before the women have an opportunity to even ask a single question, the angel says to them, "Now I have told you." And they go. And they go and they do what the angel told them to do. Now, they have seen no evidence at this point other than an empty tomb. Jesus doesn't leave a handwritten note. He himself doesn't hang out in the tomb waiting for them to come so he can appear to them. All they have to go on is the word of the angel to go. To go and tell his disciples, "Now I have told you." And it's when they start to go, it's when they are on their way to fulfill this call that the angel has placed on their lives, that Jesus appears to them. Not while they're sitting there waiting at the tomb, but once they start to take action on what they've been told. "Go and tell his disciples," the angel says, "now I've told you." And they go. And when they go, Jesus goes with them. And he reveals himself to them. And they grasp his feet. And they bow down. And they worship. What an amazing story. I think it's amazing on a number of different levels. I mean, obviously, someone coming back to life is amazing enough that the story continues to be told 2,000 years later. There's very little, actually, that the world remembers after 2,000 years. So you know this is pretty miraculous, number one. But number two, the first people to proclaim the Easter gospel are women, who would have seemed insignificant in that culture at that time. But they are the ones that are given the words to speak. They are the ones to go and take action. They are the ones who go and proclaim the good news to the disciples. And they are the ones who get to experience the risen Christ first. And they have the first opportunity to bow down and worship him, and worship at his feet. And then they get to go and tell his disciples. and his disciples believe their account. And there in Galilee, Jesus appears to them as well. In a story that we're going to save for a few weeks, maybe by the time we get to that part of the story, we'll all be back together in this room and we'll be able to tell it to each other in person. So what do we learn from this account? Well, it gives us hope, right? This is what we have been longing to hear during this long journey in the season of Lent. It started out on the mountain of Transfiguration, where Jesus' true nature was revealed to Peter and James and John. We were reminded on Ash Wednesday of our own mortality. We all gathered together in person on Ash Wednesday to receive ashes and to share the sacrament together. Little did we know that during that season of Lent, our mortality would be placed before us over and over and over again. But that's what Lent is about. It's about recognizing our own mortality and recognizing our need for a relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives. And so that's what the celebration of Easter is all about. That death and sickness and violence and disasters have no power over the risen Christ. That the grave is not strong enough to hold him. And he reveals this first to the women there as they depart from his grave, the empty tomb, to go and proclaim the Easter gospel. So we've received this good news. We hold on to this resurrection hope for ourselves, that the world that emerges on the other side of COVID-19 will be a new world, a new place. Just as we've experienced new life on the other side of resurrection, so we long for a world that will experience rebirth on the other side. And if there's anything that our world needs to hear right now, it's a message of hope. Because there are times when things can seem pretty hopeless. When you stare at the same person you've been staring at for weeks at a time, knowing that you're not going to go anywhere, you're not going to do anything, but you're going to sit there and stare at that person some more, you need a message of hope. When you keep hearing that the peak of the disease is coming, or that schools might be closed for a while longer and you're going to have to keep teaching your kids, you need to hear some hope. When you get emails and read on Facebook about friends and colleagues and family members who are sick or dying or who have died, you need a message of hope. You need the hope of the resurrection. That's what our world needs. And who better to proclaim that message than those who have received it firsthand? Me and you, and those who are watching and listening all around the world today. We become like the women. Christ has returned to us. Christ is alive in us. We have reason to hope. We have reason to celebrate the good news. And now we get to go and tell. That's our job. And as we do, we have the promise that Christ goes with us. And that our simple words, broken as they might be, will come to power in the hearing of those who need it. I heard a story this week of one of our church members who gave some hope to a friend who was struggling. And that friend wants to hear some more about Jesus Thanks be to God. Maybe they're listening in on the service today. The simple things that we do, sharing our faith and sharing our lives, have the capacity to give our world the hope that it needs in the midst of this pandemic. And so, my friends, my prayer for all of us is that we would have the courage to bear witness to this hope that we have in our hearts, the hope and promise of resurrection and new life that comes through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this hope that we have, this new life that we have through Jesus. We pray for the courage today to proclaim the gospel message to all that we come across. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with hope today, that we might be the bearers of that hope to other people. Lord, fill us with a sense that you have our situation in your hands and under your control, that you are leading us through to a new day when we will celebrate new life and new birth. We thank you for the Easter gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, our affirmation of faith today come from the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Let's affirm our faith together. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, firstborn of all creation, firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.